His wife in here? Yeah, she's here. All right. Okay, let's begin this morning with a word of prayer and communication with God. Very important to Jesus Christ. I hope that prayer is very important to you. Unbelievable things can be wrought through prayer. All through his life, Christ, the Son of God, sinless man, devoted so much time to prayer. If he did, how much more do we need to be in prayer with our Heavenly Father? So let's spend a moment in prayer, preparation for the worship together in the Word of God, and test yourself to see if you're trusting His Spirit, who is a true teacher. Let us pray. Now, Heavenly Father, it's a heavy week for us in that our good friend Jim Langston is no longer with us, but we rejoice in that he is home with his Savior. And therefore, Father, we just pray you'll be with Anel and the family. Give them that peace that comes from the assurance of knowing where Jim is, and that they will be joined with him sometime in the future. And now, Heavenly Father, we pray that as we worship together in the Word of God, that you will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Okay, let's open the Word of God to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, we've studied 1 Corinthians 12, but I want you to look at the last verse in 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 31. Now, he closes, in chapter 12, he's been dealing with spiritual gifts. And he closes that great chapter with the words, I show you a still more excellent way than any of the gifts, whether it be the gifts of tongues, or pastor, teacher, evangelist, whatever. There's a more excellent way, and that is spiritual love. Now, what is the more excellent way? Why is spiritual love the more excellent way? Because people, no matter what your spiritual gift is, now, in chapter 12, it's about the body of Christ. People, the body of Christ is so important to God and to Christ. This assembly is so important. My good friend John Hintz and I spent some battling time this week on a passage in Philippians where he tells them that there is a blessing for them in their support of him. And so this brought us to a discussion. How's that going to be? Is Christ going to call us forward at the judgment seat of Christ by church, by assembly? And because it doesn't say the individuals supported Paul, it says the assembly supported Paul, and he says the assembly will be blessed. So how's all this going to work out? And my cop-out way was, that's God's problem. He knows how to handle it. He's going to handle it fairly, and it's going to be done nicely and fair. And but what I want you to see is that he cares about the assembly. And some desire different gifts. Some people, they desire a gift of being a pastor. I don't know why anyone would do that. I would tell them not to do that. But if that's what they desire, then desire it. So many desire tongues, which is very popular today. But there are many restrictions in regard to almost every spiritual gift. Years ago, I did a study on spiritual gifts. I don't even know if it's on the internet anymore. But at the end of each one, I dealt with warning. Every spiritual gift comes with the warnings. For an example, let's say your spiritual gift is hospitality. There's a warning, you'll be taken advantage of. There are a lot of people just take advantage if they know that's your spiritual gift and that's your weakness to them. And so every gift comes with its own warnings. Tongues comes with its warning. If it's going to be done in public, there must be the gift of interpretation. And the message must be for the assembly, not just individual. So there's just a lot of warnings and precautions with spiritual gifts. But in spite, whatever your spiritual gift is, there's a more excellent way to serve one another. Remember this. The spiritual gifts are not about you. That's where the tongues people get it all mixed up. It's not about you. It's about the assembly. It's about one another. My spiritual gift is not about me. It's about this assembly. If your spiritual gift is evangelist, helps, giving, whatever your spiritual gift is, it's not for you. It's for the assembly. It's so that you can minister and serve the assembly. That's what it's about. The gift of evangelism is for the assembly. Every spiritual gift is for the assembly. That's very important. And it goes with Christ's new commandment. Love one another. One another in the assembly. And so, spiritual gifts are designed to serve one another in the assembly. Whatever your spiritual gift is, it's not about you. It's about you serving the assembly. Let me give you a parenthesis. To me, this is why God, and I believe it is God, who ordains laissez-faire capitalism. Laissez-faire capitalism is designed where each individual has to decide what I can contribute to society to get them to give me something. And just taking the basics, if I can make shoes, you give me a coat. And if I can do this, you'll give me food. And then we get to the point where I do this and you give me money. So each individual has to decide, what can I do? What can I contribute to the society that they will give me money? I will therefore not have to steal it or beg or be on the welfare. I need to work. So to me, that's one of the reasons laissez-faire capitalism is just after the same principle of the local church. It works with the local church, that each one of us serve one another in various ways and various times. And the gift of giving, that's, you know, just once in a while. But there's a gift of encouragement. And some people have a gift of encouragement. They just have the ability to encourage one another. And a gift of faith, a gift of exhortation. Just a lot of different gifts. We all have a spiritual gift, or at least one. I believe there are some people have more than one. And we can serve one another. Now, in context, no matter what your spiritual gift is, it must be done in spiritual love. And that's why Paul ends this great chapter on spiritual gifts with the more excellent way. The more excellent way is spiritual love. No matter what your spiritual gift may be, it must be performed in spiritual love. And he pulls this all together for us in chapter 13. Verse 1, chapter 13, verse 1, if I speak with the language of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, an echoing sound, drawing attention back to me. So, you say nothing. Then in verse 2, you are nothing. Verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy, and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. So you're nothing. So you say nothing, verse 1, without spiritual love. You are nothing without spiritual love. And then verse 3, you profit nothing to self without spiritual love. Look at verse 3. And if I give my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned with the ideal of for the benefit of someone else, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. One of my favorite things to do, get up in the morning, go, and I read what happened today in church in Christian history. And inevitably, like today, there were two or three different places where there are martyrs. And what's interesting is sometimes it'll say someone gave their life that others could escape. I know that's true in Nazi Germany. And in the confines of Russia, there's different times somebody's volunteered, and therefore others got to go free. And as I read that, I go, that's so wonderful. And I just say, I hope they're filled with the Spirit. Because it's wonderful for the person that escapes being killed right then, but it's of no benefit to them if they're not filled with the Spirit. No spiritual benefit. And by that is at the judgment seat of Christ. So, it's just really interesting that no matter what your spiritual gift is, no matter what you do, you want to do it with spiritual love, people. So if you're, just to make a point, you're driving down the road and see somebody needs to help with a flat tire. Before you even get out of your car, make sure you're filled with the Spirit. Make it count! That's what I'm trying to say. Make it count! Don't just do it. Make it count! See? That's what's important. And so I remember when I was in elementary, the principal called me out of my class and went to the principal's office, and he came to come to the window. He said, look across the street, and across the street from his office, there was a lady who had a flat tire. I want you to go over and help her change her flat. I said, yes, sir. So I go over there, and I helped her to change her flat. And she had some money, and she was going to offer me some money. And I looked at the window, and he was looking, and I went, no, thank you. No credit to me. It was because he was looking. See? Whenever we do something, you want it to count for the Lord, people. You want it to count for Him. And therefore, you get spiritual credit, as it were. Now, let's take up some summary points, some introductory points, to our study this morning. Point one, then starting in verse 4, we have 16 impacts of spiritual love. 16 impacts of spiritual love. Point two, remember, love cannot be defined, but it can be described in the Bible. The impact, the effects, when spiritual love is present, these impacts, these effects will be there. So, there are 16 impacts, and they are for the purpose so that we will understand what spiritual love is. Point three, never forget, as we go through this, spiritual love is the subject, not you. You are not these things. Spiritual love is these things. You are not long-suffering. You are not kind. Spiritual love is long-suffering. Spiritual love is kind. And then, major point four, spiritual love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. If it comes from the flesh nature, it's not spiritual love. Spiritual, the reason I call it spiritual love is that it comes from the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:22. Spiritual love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Point five. We call it spiritual love. I call it spiritual love because this love can come only from the Holy Spirit and then only in a new spiritual species. In other words, this love cannot come from an unbeliever and has spiritual impact in the world. Therefore, spiritual love. I call it spiritual love. It has spiritual impact in the world. So it's from the Holy Spirit, through a spiritual species filled with the Spirit, and a spiritual impact in time and eternity. Okay? Point six. This, of course, means you better know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit by grace through faith. Faith in the Holy Spirit. Then he pours into your soul his fruit, which includes spiritual love. 7. The flesh nature cannot produce spiritual love. We have to understand that. As wonderful as some unbelievers are, and some unbelievers are nicer than believers. Let's face the facts. We all have met unbelievers. They're just nice people. Much nicer than unbelievers we know, or than believers we know. But before God, means nothing. Means nothing. The flesh cannot produce spiritual love. It produces a love, but flesh cannot produce any of these impacts of spiritual love. It can produce imitations, but not the real thing. I don't know, some preacher sometime did a deal how Coke is the real thing, and he talked about making that part of the Christian life. It's the real thing. Coke used to say, it's the real thing. If you don't have Coca-Cola, you got a substitute. If you want the real thing, get Coke. If you want the real thing, it's spiritual love. Otherwise, it's an imitation. It's from the flesh nature. See? And so therefore, isn't part of God's plan. The nature, our flesh nature, the love from our flesh nature impresses us. But it doesn't impress God. It is not the love that God is looking for. People, we always have to ask ourselves, is this the faith God is looking for? Is this the works God is looking for? Is this the love God is looking for? See? And the answer is faith in the Holy Spirit, not faith in what you do. See, a lot of people, I'm saved by grace and faith. Yes. I believe faith that if I do this, then God will save me, and that's grace. No, that's not grace. Grace is I believe in God, and God does it. Not in anything I do. So it's the object of your faith that becomes the great issue. So is our faith the faith God is looking for? Is our love the love that God is looking for? You can be very kind in the flesh and very sweet. And while the other person will appreciate that, if you wanted some kind of a relationship with God, forget it. He's not impressed with what's done in the flesh. And there's going to be a lot of at the judgment seat of Christ. Going to be a lot of Christians, but look at all that I gave. Look at all that I did. Look at all. No, it didn't matter. It's in the flesh. And this is serious stuff, people. It's very serious. God is not impressed with what we do in the flesh. He is impressed with what we do in the power of His Holy Spirit. So point 6, you better know how to be filled with the Spirit. Point 7, the flesh nature cannot produce spiritual love. It comes from the Holy Spirit, therefore spiritual love. Point 8, Jesus Christ loved by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you wish to fulfill the new commandment, love one another as I've loved you, it must be in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are so impressed with human love. We're impressed with our love. But God is not. God is not pleased with our righteousness. He's not pleased with our love. You can have a love for your mom, your dad, people, the world, whatever. But if it's not spiritual love, it doesn't matter. And that's going to startle a lot of people. But I went out and did all of these things. You did it in the flesh love. You did it to satisfy yourself. See? God is only impressed with love, the actions of love that are His love from the Holy Spirit. Now, point 9. Oh boy, point 9. Memorize the 16 impacts of spiritual love. Why? Why memorize the 16 descriptive impacts? You won't hear me talk too much about memorizing Scripture. But here you will have hear me as a pastor. Memorize the 16 impacts of spiritual love. And therefore, the question comes, why? You don't tell us to memorize verses. Why should we memorize the 16 impacts according to your teaching? Okay, here's why. Subpoint one. No, not so you can produce them or make them happen in your life, which is what a lot of Christians do. They'll write these down and then try to produce them in your life. That's not why you want to memorize them. You do not want to memorize them so that you can produce them. Two, subpoint two. But, so you will know that if these are not present in your soul and in your life, in the environment you establish in your life, you'll know what is missing. Spiritual love from the Holy Spirit. You'll know that. This is not here. Arrogance is here. Acting unbecoming is here. Well, if I'm acting unbecoming, if I'm not acting in an unbecoming manner, I know something. The Holy Spirit's not here. And I like to word it this way. A chair flying across the room is not acting becoming. See? That's not nice. So you know the Holy Spirit's lacking here. And plus you might get shot at the end of the chair and misses the person hits the wall. No spiritual love means no power of the Holy Spirit, which means no faith in your life. So, if you find yourself bragging, then you know no spiritual love. If you find yourself judging another believer, you know something. There's no Holy Spirit here. There's no spiritual love. So, I want you to memorize these so that you will know if these are not present in your life, and there are 8 negatives and 8 positives, and if these are not present in your life, you know something's missing. Faith is missing. The Holy Spirit is missing. So you need to get back into faith in the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm under point 9. Memorize the 16 impacts. First of all, not so that you produce them. Secondly, so that if these things are not in your life, you'll know that the Holy Spirit is not there. And then three, so that you'll desire. You'll desire the more excellent way. You will desire these in your soul, in your life. We do not need human psychology, human counseling. We do not need self-help books. We continually see a problem in our lives. We know what's missing. The Bible is the only book we need. So here is the direction to the power to do something in our lives. I'm always miserable. I'm always angry. I'm always this. I love Lucy and Charles Schulz's Peanuts. They were talking, the kids were talking about being happy all the time. She says, I don't want to be happy all the time. You can't be a fuss bucket if you're happy all the time. See? So, if there's something going on in your life, you know something's not there. So, if you're a little fuss bucket, you know something's wrong. Spiritual love is not there. The Holy Spirit is not there. The Bible is the only book we need in our lives, people, for things that trouble us in our soul, in our marriage, in our single life, in our work, in social, every area of our being. If you're having a problem, you don't need a chocolate cake or drugs or alcohol. You need the Word of God. You need to steal away, open it up, and study the Bible. Believe in the Holy Spirit, and He will produce these things in your soul and in your life. Now, let's now turn 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 13, 4, which we have studied. But let's just go by way of introduction. Love is long-suffering. It says love is patient. But the Greek says long-suffering. Long-suffering in regard to people. There are two types of patience in the Bible. One patience is toward things, events like that. Got to put up with the garage door not working. Put up with the car not working. That's not our word. Our word is patience in regard to people. Long-suffering in regard to one another. Your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, your relatives, people in the church, people at work, people in life. Long-suffering. And we've studied this. So let's take some sub-points on, or some points under spiritual love is long-suffering. Point one, love is the Greek word agape, A-G-A-P, long E. Patient. The Greek word is macrothumia, for patient. Macrothumia, M-A-K-R-O-T-H-U-M-I-A. Macro means long. Long. Thumia, suffering. Long suffering. It's a compound word. It's made up of macros, M-A-K-R-O-S, denotes duration. Plus thumos, which is a descriptive word, to be more impetuous, particularly as air in the wind. So the word means to go a long time before moving impetuously. How short is your love? Some people's love, very short. They get impetuous very quickly. Others, their love is longer. Even in the human love, that's true. But it's definitely true in a spiritual love. Love is long-suffering by the work of the Holy Spirit. Point two. Why does Paul make this the first ingredient of love? Okay. I got a big urn here, a big pot. And we're going to pour in all the elements. And out of this pot, we're going to make love. Not make love, we're going to make, produce love out of our deal. Okay? Some of you, I know how you work. So we're in this pot, we're going to come up with love. Now, how many of us, the first thing we want in there is long suffering? Hey, I used to teach. I'm not going to fall in love and get married to suffer. What is this long suffering stuff? See? That's not when we fall in love. I don't fall in love to suffer. But you know what? Love suffers. The love of a mother suffers. The love of a husband, of a wife, of a parent suffers. Love suffers. So Paul is a genius here in the power of the Spirit. That he makes the first thing he's going to pour into this big pot is long suffering. Spiritual love, long-suffering. Now, he's going to describe the 16 little urns we're going to have. We have 16 urns up here. We're going to pour it into our pot, and we're going to stir it up and produce spiritual love. And the first thing he pours in there, long-suffering. Well, one-third of the people just walked out. That's it for me. I don't want that. I'm leaving. See? And then they go out and fall in love and come back and say, where is that urn with the long suffering in it? I need it. See? I almost killed him today. See? So, long suffering, the first thing he pours in to the making of spiritual love. That brings us to point three. As to why there are multitude of answers. Multitude of answers of why macrothumia. Let's look at James 5. James 5. Now, I'm going to share with you one of the problems of being a pastor at my desk is that sometimes my computer doesn't put down everything. I put it down, but my computer doesn't. So, James 5. We're going to look at... Oh, verse 7. James 5, 7. Therefore, be patient. That's our word, macrothumia. Long suffering toward one another. Not toward things. Not toward your car. Not toward the garage door opener. Not toward the skillet. Toward one another. Therefore, be long-suffering, brethren. He's talking to believers, because only believers can be this. Unbelievers cannot be this. Only believers can be. Look at this. Until the coming of the Lord. How long? Until the coming of the Lord. In other words, believers are to be long-suffering until the rapture. Until we're called home. Now, look what he says. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, but being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too, be patient. That's our word. Long suffering. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. So he goes to the patience with circumstances, rain, to the patience toward one another, long suffering. And we need to have it. Amen? And I hate that. I don't want it to rain. Well, the farmers need it. Well, let the farmers get it. I live in the city. I don't live on a farm. See? Right now, today, I had other plans. See? What's this farmer stuff? Well, it's biblical. So shut up. See? That's what the Bible says. Now, when I say we are near the rapture, I might miss it by a couple of hundred years. But I'm better than James. He's missed it by 2,000 years already. See? So, I'm not that concerned. But the point is, no matter your age, whether you're 8, 18, or 88, keep on putting on Christ as per the study of 1 Corinthians 13. Don't grow weary. Don't grow tired. Don't become discouraged. See? Having said that, let me just tell you what one of the last ones is going to say. Spiritual love never fails. You may not see it. That's going to be the tough one. You may not see it, but it never, ever fails. So, when you love in spiritual love, you may not see the results you think it should have. But in God's plan, spiritual love never fails. So don't ever give up. Don't ever become discouraged at loving as Christ loved, at spiritual love. They don't appreciate it. It doesn't change them. On and on and on and on. You don't know what's going on. You just keep loving as Christ loved. Point four. Point three, why spiritual love is long-suffering. Now, point four. That the love of Christ was macrothumia. That the love of Christ was macrothumia. Look at 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 9. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is long-suffering toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to become to repentance. See? So our Lord's love is long-suffering toward unbelievers. Now look at 1 Timothy 1. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. Yet, for this reason, I found mercy, so that in me, as the foremost sinner, Jesus Christ might demonstrate His perfect macrothumia, His perfect long-suffering love. See, when you see the word patience, that's here, macrothumia. As an example for those who would believe in Him for eternal life. So let's read the verse. Yet, for this very reason, I found mercy, so that in me, as the foremost sinner, Jesus Christ might demonstrate His perfect, long-suffering spiritual love as an example for those who would believe in Him for eternal life. So Jesus Christ's love is macrothumia. Macrothumia is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. You want this love? It's got to come from the Holy Spirit. Point five. Spiritual love is the love of God. We know that God's love is macrothumia. We know that Christ's love is macrothumia. Let's look at God's love. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Verse 4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and long-suffering, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? That's the right verse, right? Okay, somebody was looking at something I didn't know. Alright, do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness, fruit of the Holy Spirit for us, and tolerance and macrothumia, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Next week, or 2 weeks from now, we're going to come to kindness. And God's love is kind. The fruit of the Holy Spirit's love will be kindness. Now let's look at Romans 9:22. Romans 9:22. What if God, although willing to demonstrate His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long-suffering, macrothumia, vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? So, what if God, though willing to demonstrate His wrath and to make His power known, endured with long-suffering vessels of wrath, hold them back, prepared for destruction? If He holds back the vessels prepared for destruction because of His macrothumia, because of His long-suffering. And verse 23, and He did not, and He did so to make known the riches of His glory upon vessels of mercy, which He prepared beforehand for glory. We're going to be studying the glory of God in Ezekiel on Wednesday night. And we've had the word riches now a couple of times in Romans chapter 2, now Romans chapter 9, and Romans chapter 2, row 4, Romans 9, riches. One way I hope to relate to you, when you think about riches, when you think about gold and all of that, but to me a vivid thinking of richness, and I've overworked it and I know it, but it just, to me when I think of riches, I think of my mom making chocolate cake. And there was the three layers of cake, big deal. Who cares about them? Over here was this big pot. And she had the fudge with the pecans in it. And then she would pour it over. And I mean, it just flowed over. And then it would roll down. And it was what came around the edge. We got to use our finger. And we couldn't do it on the cake. We get our hands slapped. But we were allowed along the edge. Those were the riches of it. It just overflows. That's the wealth of God's riches. All right, point six. Point six. In 2 Corinthians 6, verses 2 through 10, Paul lists various attributes of sound ministry. And in verse 6, he includes the long-suffering of spiritual love. We'll not take time to look at it, but you can look at that. In 2 Corinthians 6, verses 2 through 10, Paul lists various attributes of sound ministry. And in verse 6, he includes the long-suffering of spiritual love. Now, point 7. Passage we studied. Colossians 3. Long-suffering should be one of the vital coverings of the believer. Let's look at Colossians 3:12. Colossians 3:12. So, as those who have been those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, that's what you are. In your life, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and macrothumia, long suffering. You are chosen of God, holy, beloved. That's what you are. Therefore, since that's what you are in your life, put on a heart of compassion, kindness. How does all this is part of spiritual love, by the way? Humility, gentleness, and macrothumia. Point 8. In Colossians 1, long-suffering is one of the great virtues of any assembly. Now we're talking about the assembly, not about you individually. We're talking about when someone walks into our church, walks into our assembly. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about in the assembly. Long-suffering is one of the great virtues of any assembly. Take heart, Spring Valley Bible Church. Let's look at Colossians 1:9. Colossians 1:9. For this reason. For what reason? Because of spiritual love. Verse 8, and he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. Spiritual love. So, for this reason, spiritual love in the Holy Spirit, also, since the day we heard of him, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a... Why do you want to know have doctrine in your soul, spiritual wisdom in your soul, understanding in your soul? So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. You walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. One, to please him in all respects. Two, bearing fruit in every good work. Three, increasing in the knowledge of God. Four, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Five, attaining of all steadfastness. 6, long-suffering, macrothumia. 7, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. Look at this. For this reason, spiritual love, also since the day we heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you. People, let me encourage you. Yes, when people hurt, they need your prayers. When people are in trouble, they need your prayers. When people need something, they need your prayers. But oh, people, so often we forget to pray for those who are doing it right. Well, they're doing it right. They don't need our prayer. These people that are hurting need our prayer. People, pray for those that are doing it right. They need your prayers. They're the target of Satan. If we don't pray for them, we'll be praying for them because they've hurt. Pray for them before they get hurt. Pray for them. Pray earnestly. Pray for me. Pray for this church. Pray for pastors you know. Pray for missionaries. Pray for one another. Pray for one another. See? Yes, we're going to pray for Adele, Jeff, and Jay, and the Langston family. We know they need our prayers. But let me remind you, believers that are doing it right need your prayers. They're the conflict. So, this is a very important principle. Let me move on for the sake of time. Since the day we heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. What does that mean? Pray in all spiritual understanding. What does that mean? Let me give you a hint. Look at John chapter 16. Look at John chapter 16. The last verse of John 16. I'm going to show you spiritual wisdom and understanding and how it will relate to these seven things pointed out here. Okay. Pray that you will be filled with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. What does that include? John 16:33. This is Jesus Christ speaking. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. But take courage. I have overcome the world. People, this is remarkable. Look at this world we live in. Look at the unbelievable attacks on our president. If the Democrats had spent half the time they've spent on Trump on solving problems in America, we'd be a lot better off. They don't care about America. They are filled with hate toward one person and neglecting their responsibilities as our elected officials. Tribulation. All around us. You may see it at work. You may see it in a court system. You may see it in a financial world. But look what he says. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Now that's wisdom. Now what are you going to do with that wisdom? Let's go back to Colossians chapter 1 and see what he says in verse 9. So that you will please him in all respects. So here you are in a world of tribulation, and in those tribulations, you please Him. Secondly, bearing fruit in every good work. So no matter what you're doing, you're bearing fruit. Whatever's happening in the world of tribulation. Increasing in the knowledge of God. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. I'm still going to learn about God. I want to go to a church where the Word of God is taught and I can learn about God. 4, strengthened with all power. Take courage, he said, according to His glorious might. That's the Holy Spirit. For the attaining of all steadfastness. People, when things are going in tribulation in your life, you want to have steadfastness. You want to stand firm. Let me tell you what my prayer is for now. I pray, Father, give her peace that even she doesn't understand. That even she may wonder, why don't I hurt more? Why aren't I falling apart more? Give her supernatural peace at this time. So here we're talking about steadfastness in a world and in a time of tribulation. Long suffering. Joyously giving thanks. Tribulation around us, and we're going to give thanks joyously to the Lord. How can you do that? If you have this wisdom. If you have John 16:33 in your soul. You know how you can get thanks. He's already overcome it. He's already overcome. Smile at these Muslims in our Congress. Smile at these Democrats. The Lord has already overcome you. You're just taking a slide on free ride right now. See? It's coming. And I know it. And I thank you, Lord, that I don't have to get all upset. Joyously giving thanks to the Father who has glorified us to share in the inheritance as the saints in light. That's after death into eternity. So, point 8 again. Long suffering is one of the great virtues of an assembly. An assembly can be known by spiritual love. Point 9. Long-suffering of spiritual love does not mean that you are weak. It really means that you're strong. Your love is strong. Some people think that if a person is long-suffering, they're weak. You can beat on them. You can run them down. You can just tear them down and tear them down and do all this stuff, and they take it. They're weak. Not at all, people. Those are the strong ones. The long-suffering of the love of Christ kept him on a cross for 6 hours. 3 hours bearing the burden of our sins. That's the long-suffering of love. Long-suffering of love is what we're studying in Ezekiel. If I were to say, out somewhere, the Jews are hard-headed, obnoxious, and stiff-necked and all that, you'd think I was anti-Semitic. That's what God called them. That's what God called them. These Jews are hard-headed, obstinate people. See? But guess what, Ezekiel? I'm going to make you. I'm going to make your head harder. Your neck stiffer. You'll be able to put up with them. And take them on, one for one. See? Why? It's long-suffering. It's long-suffering. At the end of Ezekiel, all of the chastisement, all of the divine discipline, and he's going to end it with the long-suffering of God, you're going to be victorious. You're going to have 1,000 years of unbelievable reign on earth. The seed of David. It's going to be unbelievable. That's the long-suffering of love. Replacement theology denies the long-suffering of the love of God. That's a shame. They deny it. So under point 9, long-suffering of spiritual love does not mean that somebody's weak. It means that they're strong. Nor does long-suffering of spiritual love mean that you're silent. The long-suffering of spiritual love keeps you from reacting. From vengeance. From just walking away. Keeps you from losing it all in Christ. People, I know myself. I know when I'm not in the spiritual Holy Spirit. In spiritual love. I'm ugly. Don't you say amen. I'm ugly. See? And I know when spiritual love is there. Just take it and move on. See? Silent. But silence is not weakness. And spiritual love is not weakness. Let's take time for point 10. Long-suffering of spiritual love creates an environment in your soul so that you can manifest other characteristics of love like kindness. We'll come to that. Why is long-suffering the first thing given? So that you can demonstrate kindness. See? So that you can demonstrate the absence of boasting. So that you can demonstrate not running people down, not judging. People, if your love is not long-suffering, you're going to react. You're going to be a horrible person. Spiritual love allows the other fruit of the Holy Spirit, the other fruit of spiritual love, to work and manifest. But if there's no spiritual love, forget the next 15 things. Forget them. If your love is not long-suffering, chuck them. Because you're going to chuck them. But if you start out with your love being long-suffering, now you can be kind. Now you cannot brag. See? Now you cannot boast. Now you cannot be arrogant. See? All the wonderful things we're going to be studying. These things are only going to be possible in your life if the first thing is true. But if your love has a short fuse, forget it. Forget it. You'll be bragging, judging, maligning, no kindness right away. No spiritual love. But if your love is long-suffering, you have time now for all these other wonderful attributes of spiritual love. Okay. Next Sunday, Kit and I will be in Connecticut at his sister's wedding. And Phil's going to be teaching both classes next Sunday. So please come and listen to the teaching of the Word of God unto Phil. So let's close now in a word of prayer. Wow. There is so much to understand about your love. There's so much to understand and grasp about spiritual love from your Spirit. And we thank you, Father, that you've given us this information in your Word and that you allow this love to flow through us, Father. What an unbelievable God of mercy and of love you are. I pray, Father, that your Spirit can use the things we've seen this morning for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.